Brad Meltzer joins us on the roundtable this morning. He has two new books out. One is a thriller. It's called The Escape Artist, which is out now. It is from Grand Central. Also out is I Am Harriet Tubman, and that book is for children. We will talk about both, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Brad Meltzer to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much. Good to have you back on the program.
Always good to be back. Thanks, Joe.
Well, let's talk about the Harriet Tubman book first, because this is a series that you have been working on for a while, and it's a really interesting series. You have done profiles on Martin Luther King. It's an interesting book. What set you down this path in the first place?
You know, the truth was is I had my own kids, and I was tired of my own kids looking at reality TV show stars and people who were famous for being famous and thinking that that's a hero. You know, 5 years ago, I had enough of it and said, you know what, because of the thrillers I write, the History Channel show I do, I thought I have so many better real heroes for them. So we started with I Am Abraham Lincoln and I Am Amelia Earhart. They were illustrated children's books to give them real values that we thought were lost in the world right now. And, you know, for my son who loves sports, I did I Am Jackie Robinson. My daughter, I did I Am Lucille Ball because I wanted her to have a female entertainment hero who wasn't just famous for being thin and pretty, that Lucy stands for the idea it's okay to be different and indeed fantastic to be. And for my youngest son, who's a creator, he loves to draw and color, I did I Am Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets. But one interesting thing happened, Joe, is that as the election was approaching last year, we saw our books on I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and especially on I Am George Washington started taking off. And it wasn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It was that there were parents and grandparents on both sides who were tired of turning on the TV and seeing politicians, and what they wanted to show their kids were heroes. And we all know there's a difference between a politician and a leader. We need to show our kids more leaders. And the series has since then just taken off, and I think it's because it's not a history series. What it really is a value series, each value that we need, whether it's compassion or whether it's looking out for each other. And that, of course, is what led us to the new one, I Am Harriet Tubman.
As I mentioned, the series is called Ordinary People Change the World. So what was it about Harriet Tubman where you could show her that ordinary background and then the greatness that she ultimately achieved?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, we always start every book. My kids have no reference for slavery. That's just a big, hard issue, especially for young kids. And the I Am series is all for these, you know, little kids. So we always start when they're younger. So Harriet Tubman, when she's a little girl, her father is the one who teaches her about the North Star. And he teaches her that, you know, if you follow the North Star, it'll always lead you right. And as a slave, you know, my kids understand, of course, you know, how bad that can be in terms of, you know, no one wants to belong to someone else and not be able to go free. Her brothers and she decide, you know what, it's time to go free. We got to get out of here. It's bad. And her brothers actually get scared. They're the ones who chicken out that night. They don't go through with it. It's the young girl, Harriet Tubman, who says, nope, I'm going through with it. I'm going to be free. And what's amazing is that when she's free, she has a job. She's got what every slave, right? That's the dream, is freedom. She doesn't have to do anything else. She can go live her life. But she instead says, wait a minute, you know, I'm free, but there are so many others back there who need my help. And so she makes 13 different trips back and forth and goes and helps all these other strangers. And I need my daughter to learn that lesson. You know, as it says in the book, is that, you know, the measure of success in your life is not about what you do for yourself or you achieve for yourself. It's what you do for others. And it's like being a bird. It says you can climb high, and some days you're going to climb really high, and some days you're going to fall. But when you pass the clouds and reach the top, you have a choice. You can stay up there and enjoy the view, or you can go back down and bring others up to join you. And to me, when I look around today, I feel like we're a country that's just fighting with each other. We hate each other, right? We're playing us versus them. They're wrong and we're right. And to me, what we need more of in the world is a reminder that when we work together, we actually can get to a better place. When we look out for each other, we can get to a better place. And that's what, for me, I Am Harriet Tubman as a book stands for.
You've partnered with a wonderful artist who's a comic book artist and really gives a feel to the entire series.
Thank you, Joe. You know, Chris Eliopoulos is our amazing artist, and the reason I approached him is, listen, I want my kids off their phones. I want them off their screens and their computers. But the only way to do that is if you give them something that's more interesting, that looks better. And so I approached Chris, who has an art style that's like a mix between Charlie Brown and Calvin and Hobbes. So it's just lovable. And when you see I Am Harriet Tubman or I Am Abraham Lincoln or I am George Washington, kids react and they fall in love. My daughter loves dogs. She loves our, you know, animals. So I did I Am Jane Goodall, and he drew a little cute, adorable monkey, and it was almost like Hobbes and Calvin and Hobbes. And that's the secret weapon. It's not my writing. It's that Chris just makes kids love what these characters look like, and suddenly they want to know more and more. And I think the best compliment we ever got is a few years ago we got a letter on Halloween, and it said, "Dear Brad, this is the first year that my daughter didn't go as a princess for Halloween. Thanks to your book, she went as Amelia Earhart." And Joe, in my most narcissistic moment, I don't think I could ever anticipate being the inspiration for someone's Halloween costume. But that's when I felt like I knew we were doing it right.
So let's talk about the new thriller. It is hard to believe, but you've been doing this for 2 decades. It's the 20th anniversary of your first bestseller. And what better way to commemorate that milestone by starting a new series?
Exactly. No, I appreciate that. It's amazing. You've been one of those people who's been with me for so long, who's, you know, whether it's kids' books or the thriller side. So some days I get to murder people, and then some days I get to entertain children. It's a really weird job I have. But in the thrillers, let's talk about The Escape Artist. And a few years ago, I was on a USO tour. The USO brings 6 thriller writers every year to kind of go entertain our troops. And I was in the Middle East, and they took us abroad, and I loved doing it. And it was soon after that I found out about a place called Dover Air Force Base. And the truth was, is I was absolutely clueless about everything that went on at Dover. And Dover is the place where they lay to rest, not just the regular members of our military, but also those on top secret missions, those on missions no one knows about. The people from 9/11 on the Pentagon flight were sent to Dover. So were the victims on the space shuttle, and so were the victims of the USS Cole bombing. And it's in Delaware, of all places, that is America's most secretive funeral home. And no one gets in there. But I just thought, I got to find out. I need to know more about this place. It's a building that is filled with secrets, that is filled with mysteries. How could I not write about it? And thankfully, they let me in. I had unprecedented access to Dover. And I'll ruin chapter one for you because the book opens like this. It opens with a woman named Nola Brown. And Nola's dead. And the government says she's dead. She died in a plane crash, they say. But when her body is laid to rest at Dover, our hero Zig realizes when he opens up her body that there's a note inside. And the note says, "Nola, you were right. Keep running." And he quickly realizes Nola's not dead at all. Nola's on the run. She is the escape artist. And like my girl with the dragon tattoo, she is the one who no one really understands but is now out there and needs help to survive because she's picked an enemy unlike any other. And that's chapter one of The Escape Artist.
You know, I love this novel. One of the things I found really fascinating about it was was reading about morticians. We don't read a lot about morticians. They're usually the person that they go to about two-thirds of the way through, and then they throw them a bone, and then you move on. But you really spent a lot of time with them. It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is, you know, and I can tell you that the people who are at Dover, they deal with the hardest cases of all, and they're artists. They are true artists there. And, you know, if someone gets shot, and their face gets, you know, hit, what we do at a normal funeral home is, you close the casket and you say you bury them, and that's it. But at Dover, it's an amazing experience. What they do there instead is you have people there who will rebuild faces because they realize that no parent believes their child is gone until they see them. They'll spend 14 hours rebuilding cheekbones so someone can give a last kiss goodbye, or rebuilding a hand because a mother requests to hold her son's hand one last time before they bury him. And it was these artists who sometimes they don't even take extra bonus pay or overtime pay when they put in their overtime because they just feel like it's the right thing to do. And these, you know, we're a country starving for heroes right now. But here's a part of the government that is doing things absolutely right at the most high, amazing level. And it's the one no-fail mission of government. So when I was writing The Escape Artist, as you said, I featured these amazing heroes that no one knows about in our military. And you get to see exactly what goes on there. And it's, you know, it sounds like it can be, oh, my gosh, that's a serious subject. But it's also a crazy subject. And you see, like, what kind of funny things and noises come out of dead bodies. And, you know, these people have crazy senses of humor. And it's just a wild universe. And I said, I want to show people that, as well as showing people the artist in residence, which was a fun thing to dive into as well.
And the character Zig is based on a real mortician.
Yeah, the real Zig, the name of the character in the book is named Zig, and I named him after a real-life Zig, who's an amalgam of a couple people, but he's a real-life mortician at Dover. And Zig, the real-life one, is just an incredible inspiration to me. He is actually the person who doesn't take overtime when he rebuilds a body, and he taught me how to rebuild. He is a sculptor. He truly is resculpting faces and noses and ears. And he's the one who shared with me these incredible stories, including the story, you know, I was looking for, you know, how do I possibly set a mystery here? And he said to me, you know, what happened? I said to him, what if you came in and he told me, this is an amazing real story, and it really happened in real life, is he told me that sometimes a body comes in, and if it has your last name, it has Meltzer, it has Donahue, it has whatever, you want to work on that body. You feel tied to it, whether it's someone from your hometown or they have a similar last name, you feel very tied to them. And so I said, well, what if you're working on someone who you knew from when they were younger, but you noticed something was wrong with them? And he said, I have an idea. He says, you know, a couple years ago, he remembered a campfire accident where one of his kids' friends, I think it was, had the top of their ear, a soda can was put into the campfire, and the soda can exploded, and it took off part of their ear. And he said, what if they came through Dover and you saw that this person's body was coming through, but when you looked at the ear was intact. And now you knew this isn't that person at all. The government is saying she's dead and she's not really dead. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the book. So what you see in the book, it, you know, you read it as it's fiction, but it's based on things that actually happened in real life. And I love that I got to honor the real Zig with that.
At what point in the process did you know you had a series on your hand?
For me, the best plot is a good character. And I wouldn't start this book until I started what is, you know, to me, the breakout character book. I love Zig, but it's this character, Nola. She's the female lead of the book. And Nola, for me, when we were doing and filming our TV show, Lost History, we were looking for the 9/11 flag that got lost at Ground Zero, and that was taken at Ground Zero. And when we were able to find the flag and return it, it's now in the 9/11 Museum. But when we were filming the episode looking for it, they took us to a place called Fort Belvoir in Virginia, and it was a U.S. military base. And we're filming in this museum, and I'm walking around the museum, and I see that this museum has all this art everywhere. It has all these paintings. It has paintings by a guy named Adolf Hitler. It has paintings by these top generals. And I'm going, why does the U.S. government and the military have all this incredible art? And they took me to a room in the back, and it was a place, the home of the so-called artist in residence. And what no one realizes is since World War I, the U.S. Army has had a painter, an actual painter, who runs into disasters and paints. Yes, we have photographers and we have videographers who were in Vietnam, but we also, storming the beaches of Normandy or in Vietnam or, you know, even after 9/11, we had a painter there. So when 9/11 happened, the only artist who got past the security corridor was a painter, our artist in residence. And I loved the idea. I said, I want to meet him. And she said, you mean you want to meet her? And I took a moment and realized that this woman runs, while everyone else is running in with their guns to a disaster, she's running into the same disaster with nothing but paintbrushes in her pocket. And I thought, that's the craziest person I can ever think of. I need her as a character. And that's where Nola was born. And once I had that character, I was like, now I have a series. So this is the first of the series. This is the start of Zig and Nola's adventures. And, you know, just wait for Nola. You've never seen a character like her.
And it's fascinating because you learn of just, it's a weird job, right? I mean, it's a weird job.
Of course. There's no better way to describe it.
Yeah. And there's, you know, what paints do you use in a desert? What do you do? All of these things have to come to your mind when you're running into these situations.
That's exactly right, right? I mean, I said to her, oh, so you kind of bring your oils into the desert. And she's like, no, they'll melt. And you go, oh, and you realize that there's, you know, she knows how to make, she only brings certain colors because she has to always draw in kind of browns and greens and camouflage colors. And so she's like, yeah, I don't need, you know, this bright color here. And you realize that she's a witness to history. That's what she is. And one of the other things that I found, and this is where the whole book really kind of came together, and this is the opening page of The Escape Artist. It opens with this. It says, in 1898, there's a man who is in charge of the Secret Service who is also a friend of Harry Houdini, and he loves doing magic himself. And his name is actually John Elbert Wilkie. And it's the only time in history that a magician was in control of the Secret Service. And that's a real fact. And I love that story. And so I started looking into Houdini. I started looking into what he did. I started finding out the work he did for the government. And Houdini, you know, the book is called The Escape Artist for many reasons, but one of them is you get the real secrets of what Houdini did when he worked for the government. You see it all, how it played out today. And, you know, once I had NOLA, once I had Zig, and once I had that Houdini, you know, that's where The Escape Artist really got born.
Brad Meltzer has not one but two new books out. One is The Escape Artist. It is the brand new thriller. It is out from Grand Central. Also, in the Ordinary People Change the World series, I am Harriet Tubman, which is published by Dial. Brad, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck with the future work as well.
No, and an extra thanks for letting me play in kind of both venues. I mean, I love that we get to do the thriller, but I also love and appreciate that you share with your listeners. You know, it's never been about one I Am book or the other one. It's basically helping people build a library of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids and nieces and their nephews. And so I love that some people buy the kids' books for their family members and then buy the thrillers for themselves. And it's the people like you who have supported me no matter what I'm doing. So extra thanks.
Brad, thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Be well.
Always.
Thank you. Again, Brad Meltzer's new books, The Escape Artist is the thriller, and the new book for children is I Am Harriet Tubman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.